Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So maybe you've been reading these stories in the Times or the Jewish Daily Forward about Brooklyn DA Charles Hines and his treatment of child sex abuse allegations in some ultra-Orthodox Jewish communities in Brooklyn. These allegations started making news back in 2009, and now critics of DA Hines, including Mayor Bloomberg the other day, are accusing him of allowing that community to play by different rules in dealing with abuse charges. Joining us now to discuss and explain the backstory is Paul Berger, staff writer at the Jewish Daily Forward. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
And fill us in on that backstory for people who don't know this issue. What sex abuse charges are we talking about, and where in Brooklyn?
Well, I mean, really, this story goes back much further than 2009. And the main criticisms that were being leveled against the district attorney back then were that he wasn't bringing any cases or very few cases each year against members of the Orthodox community. Since 2009, it's almost a reversal. If you're to believe the numbers that the DA gives, then he's actually arrested and charged 92 Orthodox adults with sex crimes since he launched a special program called Kol Tzedek, or Voice of Justice, which is actually targets victims in the Orthodox community and tries to help them to come forward.
And tries to help them to come forward with a different kind of approach than Hines says is needed in other communities. So before we get into the rest of it, does he deserve some credit for bringing this to light in such a private community that has tended to try to play by its own rules?
I think the answer to that question really depends upon whom you ask. According to victims and their advocates, the district attorney doesn't necessarily deserve very much credit at all. They say that many of the people who are coming forward are actually doing so because of blogs, because of newspapers, Jewish newspapers like The Forward or like The Jewish Week, and because of victims and their advocates who are helping people. I'm sure the DA would disagree with that because, as far as he's concerned, and he hasn't actually really verbalized this very well, but he's basically claiming that every single one of those people that have come forward have done so because of his program.
And to be clear, no one's saying that this community has any more sex abuse than any other. It's just that the DA's relationship with the community in instances where there are charges has been fraught.
Well, I mean, the main reason why we have this incredible tension here is because the DA, while saying that he's arrested over 90 people, is also refusing to name any of those people, including those who have pled guilty, and even including those who have been convicted, given lengthy prison sentences, and had to register as sex offenders.
So that's one of the two big reasons that Hines is getting criticized, because in any other community, any other defendant, their names would be made public under the normal rules of the justice system. The other big reason is that he allows rabbis to approve whether or not victims can come forward to make allegations to the DA at all about their victimhood, or at least he's not objecting to that community practice.
Right. I mean, this is a really, really complicated issue, and it's very, very difficult to boil it down even to a couple of thousand word story, you know, like the New York Times has tried to do. I think that sometimes you really have to analyze the district attorney's words carefully, because on the one hand, he does say that he is allowing the community to go to a rabbi before the charges are brought to the police. But I think he actually clarified in a CBS interview yesterday, that he still expects that those cases are still brought to him. In other words, he's okay. I mean, these are very, very difficult decisions that a human being has to make when they're going to bring charges against another person for a very, very serious crime. And so if you want to get somebody's advice, and let's face it, this is an ultra-Orthodox community where the rabbi helps people to decide what they can eat, when they can eat, and how they live, then it would make sense that they should seek the guidance of a rabbi first.
So is he denying that there is a double standard, or is he saying it's justified because this is how you get the most sex abuse out into the open or into the justice system in this particular community.
Right. Well, this is where it's interesting, because I don't think he would use the word double standard, but certainly the Forward and a number of other newspapers have submitted freedom of information requests asking for the names of all of the people that have been charged under the program. And in the rejection letter that we received a few weeks ago or last month, one of the assistant district attorneys basically said that the ultra-Orthodox community is unique, and that because of its tight-knit and insular nature, identifying any of the perpetrators would or could, there's a serious danger that it would reveal the identity of a victim, and therefore they will not release any of the names.
I'm not sure I understand that. Why would that be different from in any other community?
Well, to be honest, I'm not sure why I understand that too. And I think this is something that the district attorney really does need to clarify again, which is I can understand how in some cases, for example, if it's abuse within a family, if you reveal, and this would go for members of the non-Orthodox community too, if you reveal the identity of the father or brother or uncle, then you do run the risk of identifying the victim. But how it can be the case that in all, and the last number the DA released is 92, that in all 92 cases, revealing the name of the perpetrator would identify the victim, defies logic.
Last week, the New York Times reported on the repercussions of coming forward as a victim in these communities. You've reported on this, too. Explain what might happen to you and your family if you come forward, not as a perpetrator, as a victim.
Well, not just you, but your family also. You could be kicked out of your synagogue. You could be kicked out of your school. All of your siblings could be kicked out of their schools, or your children could be kicked out of their schools.
Why? I don't understand.
Because as the district attorney says, this is a tight-knit and insular community. And this is something that has happened. You know, we and other news outlets have spoken to people who have literally been physically ejected from synagogues, who have had their children thrown out of schools. And also,
because more than in some other communities, victims are still stigmatized, or for some other reason?
I mean, yes, victims are stigmatized, but also, there are Jewish traditions in which it's perceived to be bad to bring any kind of negative attention to the community. It's perceived as being against Jewish law or Jewish tradition even to report somebody to the secular authorities. And there's there's denial here. One of the reasons that I actually became interested in writing about this subject in this community, in this country, is because I came from a very secular, liberal Jewish background in the UK. But I remember in the late 1980s when I was at school that the children, there would be rumors about certain teachers, and those teachers would literally just be kicked out of the community, sent overseas. Back 20 or 30 years ago, I think in society in general, there was a lot of denial. And the best way that people thought they could deal with this was by getting rid of the perpetrators.
So if you say, as you do in your story, that DA Hines is withholding names of 14 people who are convicted of abuse-related crimes and 24 Orthodox adults who were released on probation after pleading guilty to lesser charges, don't those names automatically become public because we have laws about having to register as a convicted sex offender?
The ones who register as a sex offender, yes, those names are public. But you have to go through a sex registry, typing in the zip code for each individual area in order to find the person. And many of those, I actually did this several months ago. I found maybe half a dozen people in ultra-Orthodox areas in Brooklyn, but very few of them actually correlated to the people the DA is claiming as his success stories. Mm. So many of those who are currently registered, they will actually be in jail elsewhere. But I think a more serious problem for many parents and members of the Jewish community are that those people who were charged with sex crimes and then pled to a lesser offense, they don't have to register as a sex offender. And so they're back in the community. And if their names aren't known, then no one is any the wiser as to who they are.
On that second reason Hines is facing criticism, the ultra-Orthodox umbrella organization that maintains that a rabbi must be consulted in most cases before a suspect can be reported to the police. Hines knows about this practice and reportedly has expressed no opposition or objection, according to one rabbi who's been critical. And this is the point on which Mayor Bloomberg spoke out the other day?
Right. But I think this goes back to the earlier point, which is that the DA has since clarified that he still expects the cases to come to him, whether they go through a rabbi or not.
So what is Mayor Bloomberg's role in this at this point, and why did he speak out on Friday?
Well, I have to assume that the New York Times wanted to follow up their series of stories with another quick news story, and they called several elected officials and just got a quote from them. I mean, I also called prosecutors around the country to try to understand this from the viewpoint of the district attorney. And while they all said that it was highly unusual, those that would speak to me, while they said it was highly unusual what the district attorney is doing, they also, you know, basically told me these are very, very difficult crimes to prosecute.
And a DA is an elected position. Is it possible that Hines has accommodated those rabbis' requests because they wield political power?
Yeah, of course, it's possible. There are many theories for why the DA is doing what he's doing.
We have a minute left. It's really complicated in a certain sense. We all want a single standard of justice. And at the same time, people say, well, you have to be sensitive to all kinds of different communities when you're working in a diverse place like Brooklyn, not just ultra-Orthodox, but a lot of diversity in a lot of communities in order to see that justice is done effectively. So to some degree, it's a conflict of which of those values wins the day?
Perhaps. And, you know, the DA is doing his job. And if we're to believe everything that he says, then he is doing what he believes is right in order to have a program that's successful. Meanwhile, the victims and their advocates and newspapers like The Forward, we're doing our job. When the district attorney says, I have arrested 92 people under a particular program, I need proof of that because the Jewish Week and The Times very recently have shown that some of those numbers, he's basically inflating some of those numbers.
Covering how charges of child sex abuse are handled in some of the Orthodox communities in Brooklyn by D.A. Hines is Paul Berger, staff writer at the Jewish Daily Forward. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.